We are talking this morning with Mr. Edward Marancic, who is currently the South Area Superintendent for the Albuquerque Public School System. He has been the past president or principal at Washington Junior High School, which is a school that has numerous students from the Border Town program. Today is March 16, 1970, and I am Trudy Adams. All right, Mr. Marancic, let's first discuss some of your experiences when you were growing up in Gallup. I believe when you were attending school there that some of the Indian children were in your classes, and we'd be interested in knowing your impressions from that period.
Basically, Gallup lies in the heart of the Navajo country, and for the most part, just a handful of students were in the Gallup Public Schools who were of Indian background at that time. A few Zuni students and a few Navajos. For the most part, education of the Navajos was carried on reservation or in boarding schools operated by the government. So the mass movement to the public schools had not started until much later. Generally speaking, the student you found in the public schools at that time came from a family that had proceeded along the road of acculturation some distance. Actually, there were very few, just a handful of those kinds of families who might have moved into town and gone to the public schools, but there was actually no government program such as the Border Town program to bring students in from reservation.
In other words, their parents probably came in for jobs of one sort or another.
Precisely. And most of these jobs that were held by Indians at that time were with the Interior Department, Bureau of Indian Affairs, and governmental jobs of that kind.
And then these were definitely higher education level as far as their parents were concerned.
Right.
And the students themselves then would be expected to be more acculturated than the ones, say, that would be coming in today from the border town whose parents are still living on the reservation as sheep herders.
Distinctly different, right.
Okay. Now, did these children blend in well with the group, or was there a feeling of segregation? We are all hearing about segregation today. How was it?
Generally speaking, coming from a community like Gallup, where you had an immigrant community virtually with every kind of European, particularly European groups in the city, the problem of cultural difference wasn't that pronounced and was acceptable. Although, let me say again, there was a deep-seated feeling about Navajos and Indians in Gallup by virtue of the fact that the community was surrounded basically by the reservation, and most people's opinions of the Indians was formed on the basis of the Indians coming into town at that time. Prior to the time that they were allowed legally to buy liquor, and coming into town buying wine from the numerous bootleggers that lived in particularly the north side of the town, and seeing them, generally speaking, in an intoxicated state. So you can imagine the kind of prejudices that were built up over a period of time about Navajo people.
Right. Having lived so long in Gallup, you must have visited on the reservation a great deal, and I wondered if you can recall experiences talking with parents, their attitude toward their children attending public school, or if they seem to prefer having their children go to the BIA reservation schools.
Actually, during the time that I grew up in Gallup, the idea that Navajos or other Indians would be gathered at a central point in an urban community was and educated in the public schools wasn't even an idea that people talked about. Much of the education took place, as I said earlier, on reservation in BIA schools, and of course much of the education was handled also in boarding schools run by various religious denominations. For instance, we played basketball against teams that were comprised of Indians who went at these boarding schools, Rehoboth Mission, St. Michael's, Tehachapi, and various places like that. And these were schools run by the various religious denominations. The attitude, at least in the 30s, and probably up until World War I, was that the traditional Navajo had very little use for formal education as we know it. There was no great value placed on it by parents or by the tribal leaders. And, of course, all of you have read the stories about the fact that the BIA school people actually had to go on reservation and virtually catch the kids in order to bring them in. And then you had many cases where kids ran away from the schools, the boarding schools, and made it back to their hogans and then had to be picked up again. And this was kind of a constant thing that happened.
More recently, I believe, you went out to the reservation and were talking with parents. Several of the parents had children in your school at Washington. Did you find that their attitudes have changed significantly?
There has been a real change in, on the part, I think, of the average Navajo parent on reservation. Two reasons for this. First of all, the tribal leadership has taken a very strong stance in terms of the importance of formal education for all Navajos. And this has been discussed at the various chapter houses over the reservation, and there is a real earnest and I think sincere feeling that education is exceedingly important for kids. So you have that kind of tribal leadership coming into play in terms of forming opinions. Secondly, from the time that I knew the Navajo tribe, let's say in the early 30s, and to the present time, there's been a remarkable population explosion among the Navajos. The economic structure makes it practically impossible for these people to continue in the traditional economy and be able to eke out a living. So people, simple common sense, know that jobs are going to have to be sought off reservation. This requires, for the most part, some kind of an education, at least some knowledge of the English language at the minimal level. So there is now, with the reduced herds of sheep and the other kinds of problems, simply not a need for a large family at home. In fact, there's not only not a need for that kind of thing with a breakdown in the traditional economic structure, but actually there's a real burden placed on the home on reservation for, say, a family of 5, 6, 7, or 8 to live on a small flock of sheep and whatever weaving, other kinds of income that could sustain a family. So there's a real economic advantage for the kids to be boarded out at some school and cared for in terms of their material needs as well as their, you know, educational needs. So this certainly is an important factor in this whole consideration.
Now, Mr. Marincik, I believe you've taught in some of these children, you've had them in the classrooms. Can you tell some of your experiences of having the Navajos or Pueblo Indians in your classroom situation?
Generally speaking, most Navajos, in terms of this whole pattern of acculturation, in terms of their acquisition of the English language and other ways by which we measure them, fall some degree on the lower end of the continuum when you would judge them, or when you would place them on the same continuum with, say, Pueblo Indian students or Spanish-speaking students. And so my experience has been, upon bringing them together in schools, that they have many learning difficulties imposed on them because of the factors of cultural difference. Practically every Navajo student we got was reared pretty much in the early years of personality formation in the traditional Navajo culture. So there is indeed a real cultural difference different that's developed from the very beginning. And of course, language in almost every case was Navajo. And the acquisition of the English language was usually rather meager, and it presented a real problem in terms of the child's ability to compete well academically in school. And there are, of course, other concomitant problems, too. There's a problem of the feeling of isolation, being away from family, away from kinfolk, away from the known indigenous culture to a virtually a foreign country. And so there is this whole feeling of isolation that develops. And generally speaking, if a student managed to stay in the border town program a couple or two or three or four years, they began to adjust to the urban public school situation and seemed happy with it. Our experience with children just off reservation schools directly in the border town program was one of much unhappiness on the part of the students. Complete isolation from activities in school, and unhappiness at the dormitories also. We had a group of girls and boys who came to us from Rayma a year before last when that school was closed, and they actually had the practical problem of keeping those kids in town, keeping them from running away and going back home. So there are many difficulties in this whole process.
Would you say that the Pueblo Indian students were able to adjust better than the Navajo Indian students, possibly because of their situation in the community where they live more intimately with the other members of the community as opposed to the Navajo, who is spread out on over vast areas of the reservation? Is this a significant?
It really is significant. For instance, with the Pueblos, you can establish a school, even at Pueblo. You gather all the kids together, there is a community, and there is a feeling of identification, and you have an educational process that doesn't have as many hurdles to overcome, although certainly there are many. Then you also have the situation of having a number of Pueblos close to Albuquerque and Santa Fe, where you have the urban influence, and you find a rather high degree of sophistication on the part of many of these families. Even though they live on reservation, quite often, more often than not, both parents working in town, and you find an improved economic situation, and also a kind of a sophistication that comes from being in touch and living next to the middle-class Anglo kind of culture.
While you were principal and also recalling your experiences as a teacher in the classroom, what was the attitude of the Indian students to the situation of the being in the public schools and also toward their peers within the school?
First of all, I would never say that I saw very many Indian students, particularly the Navajo students, who were absolutely at home among the students in the school. That is to say, very few students found a point of friendship and a strong friendship and identification with a group outside their very own. Basically, the border town student, let's say, would identify almost entirely with other border town students. It's very necessary that they had this feeling of togetherness, a necessary building of a shell of protection around themselves, and it's very difficult to get relationships outside of this circle. Of course, the longer the students stayed in the program here, the more of the other outside contacts and friendships were developed. And actually, the truth is, if we had a child